Acts chapter 14 tonight. Acts chapter 14. Sunday evenings we are going through the book of Acts in a series. And right now we are right in the midst of Paul's first missionary journey. And he is with a co-laborer, Barnabas. We saw in Acts 13 last week that Paul preached a sermon, which the Holy Spirit decided should be recorded in God's Word. And so it was the sermon that he preached in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. It was a wonderful sermon on the Savior Jesus Christ, how he's the Messiah, how we can only be saved through Christ and Christ alone. And it was a great sermon, but the response ended up to be mixed. There were some that believed, but there was trouble that was stirred up because of the Jews. The Jews influenced some of the city leaders, and the city leaders brought persecution upon Paul and Barnabas, and so they had to leave Antioch of Pisidia. And so in chapter 14, we come to the next place, which is Iconium. Iconium. And I'll just start off here by reading Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. It records the mission work there to Iconium. Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. The past few weeks, I've had you turn to the map in the back of your Bible if you have one, so I want to ask you to do that again. I think most of us probably have these maps. So if you find the map that has Paul's missionary journeys on it, I want you to see where we are here. The map in my Bible is the very last map that has Paul's journeys. You might have one that has each of the journeys. I don't know. Mine has all three on one. But we found that the journey started off in Antioch of Syria, which is over to the east, there above Palestine, and then it went westward to Cyprus on the island of Cyprus, and then they went from east to west on Cyprus, then up to Asia Minor, and there they went to Antioch of Pisidia, and then they go kind of southeastern through the region of Galatia there to Iconium. So hopefully you can see where we are at, where Paul and Barnabas are at anyway, in Asia Minor as they are traveling there. The name Iconium comes from a Greek word for image, which is icon. And there is a legend in Greek mythology that some of the gods were trying to recreate the earth after a devastating flood, and they were forming images out of the mud. And that legend got associated with this city, and they called it Iconium. So, of course, that's not true at all. That's just pure myth. But that's where the name of the city came from. So we see a number of things about the mission that Paul and Barnabas were involved in here. And we find that they start off in the synagogue here. It came to pass in Iconium, verse 1, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. There's some parts of the Bible that are pretty familiar to us. We don't even really think about them. And I think that's kind of how we view the travels of Paul and Barnabas. You know, of course, that's what Paul and Barnabas did. They just went to the synagogue. But I want you to think about that for a moment, because where did Paul and Barnabas just come from? They came from Antioch of Pisidia, of course, in chapter 13. And why did they have to leave Antioch of Pisidia? Well, if we go back and look, it's because the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia stirred up trouble. And so Paul and Barnabas had to leave. And where do they go next? They go to Iconium. And what is their first initial contact there in Iconium? Well, of course, it's the synagogue. But the synagogue is the place where the Jews are. I don't know if that surprises you at all. I think if we were reading this, you know, for the first time, it would surprise us. Because here the Jews had just chased Paul and Barnabas out, and now they go to another location, and they're trying to reach the Jews again. And we'll find that they do that again and again and again. But I think it tells us something about the motivation that Paul and Barnabas had for their ministry, their evangelism. You know, they could have been highly offended by what Jews had done to them in the previous city. And they could have said, you know what? We're done with Jews. All right? That's enough of Jews. But instead, they come and they go right back ministering to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, as was Paul's method there. They had compassion on these people, and it didn't let them stop them from what they were doing. You know, we often have bad experiences with different kinds of people, different places. But one thing we need to learn from the mission work that Paul and Barnabas did is that they didn't let their bad experiences stop them from doing what God wanted them to do. You know, it's so easy for us to have a bad experience and just decide, okay, we're done with that. We're not doing that anymore. But for Paul and Barnabas to do that, for us to do that would be disobeying God. God has given us this job to do. Be witnesses unto me in all the earth, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so Paul and Barnabas begin to do that there as they make contact with the people there. And then, Luke doesn't record everything in the scriptures here that Paul said. We have his sermon from the last time he was in the synagogue. Perhaps there was a similar message that he preached here in Iconium. But think about the synagogue again. You had people that were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. There were people that surely had learned the Bible, so to speak, the Old Testament, for a long time. They were used to hearing it. And so they choose a place like that to begin their outreach. Of course, we don't have synagogues around us. There may be some, of course, but it's not quite the same as it was with Paul and Barnabas, kind of an open community center for people to come in. But we do have other points of contact that would be natural to us. You know, the synagogue was a natural place for Paul and Barnabas to begin their ministry. The synagogue may not be. It probably isn't a natural place for us. But there may be some other natural point that we have where we can start. You know, it may be, a contact that we've talked to for a long time that's just a natural place for us to begin and trying to preach the gospel, trying to give the gospel to somebody. So we see the opportunity for their contact that they had there, which we see again and again. But I want you to notice the impact here. A great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Great multitude. You know, here is a place where there are religious people in a synagogue. The synagogue was a religious center. And yet, it's in that place, in that center of religion, that people were getting saved. And it's just a reminder of the fact that we can never assume that just because a place is an outwardly religious place, that everybody in there is saved. That just may not be the case at all. That wasn't the case with these people in the synagogue. Of course, they didn't have the gospel. There was an emptiness in their hearts, even though there was religion all around them. There was an impact that the gospel made here. And then notice the opposition that come up here in verses 2 and 3. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. We see opposition coming to God's messengers here. Every place that we see God's message proclaimed, even in the book of Acts here, there's always another force at work. And we see that here as well. I want you to imagine tonight that somebody, just imagine, okay, somebody has a very bad motive here tonight, and they decide they don't like anybody here, and so they take a little bottle of poison in their coat pocket, maybe some arsenic or something, and they know we're having a fellowship tonight, and they go down and they pour that little bottle of poison into the lemonade, all right? The mix, the juice mix down there, okay? And they pour that little bottle in, and nobody knows they did it. And everybody that drinks that lemonade, what's going to happen to them? They'll probably get sick, probably die. Because that poison affected that whole pot of lemonade, okay? I trust that nobody will do that tonight. But just imagine, okay? Because that's the terminology that Luke uses to describe what happened here in Iconium. The word there, made their minds evil affected, really has to do with the idea of poisoning somebody's mind or turning someone against. And of course, they didn't do that with arsenic or some other kind of poison. They did that with their words. You know, our words can be like poison. The tongue can be used to say things that are not true about other people. And what happens when somebody does that, either intentionally or unintentionally, there is a poison that comes out, and it comes out into somebody's mind. And you can poison somebody's mind against somebody else, and that's what was going on here. The Jews, they had really evil motives, evil intentions, and they began to poison the minds of other people, saying slanderous things against Paul and Barnabas. Gentiles had no reason to think anything bad of Paul and Barnabas. But you notice here that it wasn't just Paul and Barnabas that people were embittered against. It was the brethren. They made their minds evil affected against the brethren. This was something that involved the believers there. The whole church was involved in this. The unbelieving Jews were poisoning the minds of people all around, and it wasn't just Paul and Barnabas, it was everybody in that assembly there, the people that were believers, and you see the devil at work. Are you surprised by how the devil works? Are you surprised when you find out the subtlety of his ways? You shouldn't be. It's no surprise. We know what he wants to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. And this is one of the ways that he works. He works through the subtlety, the subtle whispering and deceit that is spread, not just in Iconium, but in other places and well, even here. So we need to expect it to happen, but certainly don't be a part of it. Don't allow yourself to be involved in it. Then notice the ministry that they had in spite of this. You know, what do Paul and Barnabas do when they find out about this slander? The poisoning of the minds. What are we going to do? We can't let this happen. Notice what they do. Verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. One commentator describes their response to this. Paul and Barnabas answer the malicious slander in the best possible way. They settled in to live down the attack by a powerful ministry of the Spirit. Were they going anywhere? No, they weren't going anywhere. They settled in to continue their ministry. Yes, there were people that were saying slanderous things about them, but they didn't feel that at that time that was a reason for them to depart the city. Now, there does come a time for that, as we see at the end of this mission here, when there was danger to their life. But they continued on. They were boldly speaking. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. It wasn't just Paul and Barnabas here. They carried out their ministry in the Lord. They spake boldly in the Lord. They were strong in the Lord and in his power. And he certainly demonstrated his power, both through the message, the word of his grace, and we find out about the miracles that were done, the authenticating signs at that time in the first century that God allowed his servants to be a part of. So they stayed. They stayed and continued to serve. God was working powerfully in the midst of that. You know, sometimes we are often blindsided by the devil, and we think, you know, wow, I certainly didn't expect that to happen. And, you know, what's the devil going to think of next? Well, probably one of his other tactics he's used before on many other places and areas. But do we ever stop to think about what God might do? I mean, we're surprised by the devil. Are we ever surprised by what God does and what God could do? You know, here Paul and Barnabas stay. They recognize things don't seem to be going too well, but their confidence is in what God can open up for them. You know, they recognize, yes, the devil is doing this, but they are servants of God. They are expecting God to do something, and he does something great. We need to expect God to do something perhaps that we don't even expect. Let's be careful that we don't grow discouraged because of the constant attack of the devil. Paul and Barnabas stayed and continued their ministry. And then we see the division that took place after that in the city, verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. There was division. The whole city was divided here. And we see the fact that the gospel often does that. There's no neutrality with the gospel. Here is the gospel being preached consistently, and it divided the city. You say, why did they have to go in there and create all that division? I like what Matthew Henry said about that. He said this, "Yet the apostles must not be blamed for coming to Iconium. Although before they came, the city was united, and now it was divided. For it is better that part of the city go to heaven than all to hell." You know, the gospel does create division. And it causes people to take sides, some for and some against. But the ones that are for are the ones that are on the right side. They are the ones that are on God's side. And they are the ones who are going to end up with Christ in heaven. But then we see that it leads to danger here. Verse 5, when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, the word there for assault is not the same as our word for assault. It's the idea of a plot. There was a plot made. And Paul and Barnabas found out about this plot. It was a plot to kill them, a plot to stone them. Not just with the nice new stones that we got out there in the parking lot. They probably could have survived those. But these were bigger stones that would be lethal. And they find out about that plot to attack Paul and Barnabas here. And so what do they do? Well, there was real danger there, and so they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. God does expect us to be careful. And sometimes there's a difficult decision that God's servants need to make about whether to stay or whether to go, if there is danger. And Paul and Barnabas had to make that decision to flee for their lives to the next cities. Now, these last two efforts on their missionary journey had not ended well. And if it was you or I, probably we would be thinking about whether or not it was God's will for us to continue doing this. But Paul and Barnabas were confident that it was the will of God and that they should continue. And they were optimistic about what God would do somewhere else. Matthew Henry says this again, "In times of persecution, ministers may see cause to quit the spot, when yet they do not quit the work." And that was true of Paul and Barnabas. They had to quit their spot, but they were not about to quit the work. And that is certainly God's desire for each one of us, wherever we may be led to, whether it's South Carolina. It's a different spot, of course, but certainly the same work that God is calling us to do, wherever He may place us. And so it's a wonderful ministry that God has called us to, that God called Paul and Barnabas to. And we'll stop there for tonight, but they do continue on to Lystra, and Lord willing, next time we'll pick up with that segment of the mission work that God was doing there in Asia Minor. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to have the endurance, the faithfulness, not to give up and grow discouraged when things, when the devil would seek to attack in different ways using his commonly known strategies. And we pray that you would give us the boldness you gave to Paul and Barnabas, that we would be faithful in what you've called us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 236. We'll sing Amazing Grace as we consider what God has done for us. The message that we have is a message of grace. It's a word of grace, as Luke called it. Paul and Barnabas were involved in that message, and that's the same message that we have here today. Let's stand as we sing, number 236, Amazing Grace. You may be seated. It's our custom on the first Sunday of the month to observe the Lord's table. And of course, that is a ordinance that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, given His church to observe on a regular basis. And it's a memorial to the grace that's been demonstrated through Jesus Christ.